It made her heart flutter every time she walked into the kitchen. It was a lived-in kitchen, none of that sterile modernism you typically found in subdivisions named after trees, and she was lucky to be here. Green Lake was the type of neighborhood people were willing to pay exorbitant amounts of money to live in. She knew that, and so the last thing she wanted to do was upset her standing with the Crouches. She flicked the light off and stepped into the hallway, leaving their business to themselves. That wine was going to be a mess to clean up. To Juno's left and down 6 feet of hallway were the foyer and formal living room. The foyer was a depressing little alcove with stained glass windows looking out over the park. It used to be paneled in dark wood, but Winnie had it painted white, which only moderately improved the overall feel of it. And then there were the family photos, studio portraits of Sam through the years as his teeth jutted from his gums like chiclets. There were a couple of Nigel and Winnie, too, doing wedding things. Nigel in black tie and Winnie in a simple slip dress that was no doubt inspired by Carolyn Bessette's on the day she married John Kennedy Jr. But despite the desperate attempt at cheerfulness, the foyer was doomed to look like a vestry. Juno had heard Winnie commenting on the gloominess and hinting endlessly at Nigel to do something about it. We could have that tree outside the front door cut down. That would open up the room to so much light. But her earnest suggestions fell on a man too distracted to hear them. Winnie had settled for keeping the light above the front door on at all times. Juno quietly sided with Winnie on this issue. The entryway was gloomy. But beyond the front doors, past a smallish, unfenced yard and then a busy street, was Green Lake Park. And that was the best thing about the house. Green Lake, a neighborhood in Seattle, was urban-suburban in feel, and its center was the lake and park after which it was named. Looping around the lake was a 2.8-mile nature trail. You could be homeless or a millionaire. On that trail, it didn't matter. People came and walked and shared the space. Juno trudged right instead, toward the rear of the house, and the hallway opened up to the family's dining room on one end and a great room on the other. When she'd first moved in, she'd been startled by the clash of color and pattern that jumbled across the room. Nudging a fallen throw pillow out of her way, Juno walked slowly to the bookshelves, flinching at the pain in her hips. She was limping today. And she felt every bit of year 67. The bookshelves were just a dozen feet away, but she paused at the halfway mark, standing still and closing her eyes until the pain passed. She'd get there eventually. She always did. When the throbbing passed, she shuffled forward, her joints crying out. It was a bad day. She was having more and more of those lately. If she could just make it to the bookcase. It had been that way for quite some time, the disease raking its way across her joints. Her symptoms had felt flu-like initially, steadfast aches hanging onto her bones in meaty tendrils. But now it didn't just merely hurt to move. Her joints were on fire, the pain often so intense Juno wanted to die. Her extremities were always swollen, her fingers tinged blue like Violet Beauregard's face in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. To make matters worse, she was hit with 5 to 6 dizzy spells a day. And every time she fell, it hurt worse, being that there was less and less of her to cushion the fall. She didn't have a computer of her own, so she'd used the Crouch's computer to Google the best diet for her condition, asking the big robot in the sky what foods she should and should not be eating. The big robot said to eat things like fish, beans, and to drink a lot of milk. Juno had been eating a can of beans a day since, though she could do without the fish, and when she was especially angry with Winnie, she'd drink milk straight from the carton standing at the fridge. There was a slight incline from the living room to the book nook. It was there that Juno failed to lift her toe in time due to an untimely dizzy spell. She stumbled sideways as top became bottom and bottom became top, and her thigh slammed into